The rest of us, I invite you to take your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter. This has already been mentioned, this entire service. It's like a mini memorial service for Joe. I'm in a series right now in the morning hour on the hard sayings of Jesus. But on Friday, after returning back from the hospital and even driving back, the Lord just impressed upon my heart and my mind that I need to change and preached this passage of Scripture. John chapter 14, beginning of verse 1. Let me read the first three verses, have a word of prayer, we'll look into the text together. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you have indeed been good to us. And we know that heaven is the home of all those who have trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims on a journey. We know Joe's journey on this earth is finished, but his journey in heaven and life everlasting is, wow, so sweet and so lasting and so wonderful. For us who remain, we ask for your comfort. It's a bittersweet time, Lord. We're going to miss him. We already do. But we're going to see him again. Those of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, it's going to be a glorious, wonderful reunion. We look forward to that day. I'm going to miss Joe telling me the latest earthquake and knowing that that would help in regard to the end times. Lord, we just ask that you would use your word today to comfort hearts, encourage our souls, and ye, Lord, build up and bolster our hope in Christ. For our hope is in the Lord. And I pray now that you would just take a grip of our lives and cause the Word of God to reach deep into our hearts, and pray through your Holy Spirit's working, it would do what we need. Comfort Terry. Comfort Ricky and Sandy and Joey and their families. Comfort each of the grandchildren and loved ones. And Lord, let us all keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we commit this to you and ask that if any in our midst today is without the saving knowledge of Christ, today be a day of receiving that free gift of everlasting life, which you paid for and bought through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray this and commit it to you. Amen. The news of someone so near and dear and close to your heart suddenly passing away is never easy, never easy to hear. For the disciples of Jesus Christ, the news of their Savior's leaving them was not easy for them to process. This passage of Scripture is taking place in an upper room, probably before the Passover meal is fully involved and before the communion service is instituted and Jesus is teaching and he's giving instruction. And he tells them he's leaving. He's going away. That was not news they wanted to hear. I mean, after 3.5 wonderful years of being involved in discipling and seeing the miracles and hearing the teaching and just being with him, and now that's going to be absent. But what Jesus tells the disciples in light of that, at that particular time, I believe is very appropriate for us here today. There is a blessed hope for everyone who knows Jesus personally. Interesting, the word hope, and we sang that, my hope is in the Lord. The English idea of hope is that wish so, think so type of mentality. I hope it's going to be sunny today. That's kind of that wishing. You're not sure, but you're wishing it would be so. In the Bible, the word hope has the idea of a confident expectation, a no-so reality, that which is indisputable, that which is undeterred, that which is a confident expectation. One day, Jesus promises, we'll be in home in heaven. For Joe, he's already there. What can we do in light of that? Well, I pray and trust from this sermon this morning, from these three verses, we would all know the peace. Know the peace of being with Jesus Christ in heaven. That's a twofold application. One, know the peace that Joe has right now, and then know the peace that you can have here. Let's take a look at these three verses. Number one, Jesus Christ comforts a grieving heart. He starts off here after having told the disciples he's leaving. You can capture that back in 13 verses 36 down through verse number 38. Jesus starts off by saying, let not your heart be troubled. In essence, he brings calm to your emotional anxieties. And it's interesting when you look at this passage of Scripture, he says, let not your heart. He doesn't say, let not your head. He doesn't say, let not your knowledge. He said, let not your heart. Why is that? The word heart here is not so much used of the physical organ that's contained in your chest cavity that pumps blood throughout your whole vascular system, but rather it's the effective center of your very being, the place where your thoughts, your attitudes, your feelings, your responses reside. And for the disciples of Jesus Christ here, it is likely they, in their hearts, the very depths of their being, the very core of their essence, the very thought processes of their minds, the very emotions that they were feeling, the very processing of all this information, it caused them to be troubled. He says, let not your heart be troubled. It's assuming that there might have been that existing condition already. The word troubled is worthy of note. The word trouble means to put in motion, as in agitating back and forth. It carries with it the idea of shake to and fro. The word is to agitate. You know what your washing machine does when it cleans your clothing and launders all the stains out? It is agitating your clothing. Our understanding of agitating is that which is something that is a negative emotion. My wife says, don't get agitated. My children say, don't get agitated. I say, don't get agitated. Well, that means your mind is actually going back and forth. You're going from this thought to that thought, you're going from this emotion to that emotion. He says, don't let that happen. Do not set in motion what needs to remain still. Actually, the departure of a fellow believer must not be the cause of discouragement nor a state of distress, but rather should provide a confidence so that we know. And also, the command that he gives, this is a command from Jesus Christ. This is not a suggestion. He looks at the disciples and he gives them this command, and the command is actually calling for them to choose to do what has been told. Do not allow the inner perplexity and the agitation to get you stirred up. Don't allow this to get you emotionally unraveled. Don't allow this to keep you all in a tither, whatever. Do not allow this to make you upset. Now you got to think, the Lord is
Well, how cold is he? I mean, you're going through a struggle. You're going away, and you tell us, don't be agitated, don't be troubled, don't get upset. Yes. Look what he says next. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Because your faith is so necessary. And that's what earlier someone, I don't know if it was Ron who prayed or if it was Jim who prayed. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that rapture passage, he says to the Thessalonians, Paul writing, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. In other words, concerning those who have died. That's the word. That you sorrow not as those compared with those who have no hope. So what Jesus Christ is saying here to the disciples, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and both of those together is very good for you and me today. If Joe were to be able to speak into this service, and he's probably trying up there, I can imagine, he would say, don't be upset. I'm okay. Don't be troubled. Don't be bothered. I know your emotions are you're going to miss me, but I'm okay. Amen. Leads me to the second thought, what Jesus Christ does. He builds a confidence in spiritual faith. You believe in God. Actually, the phraseology here should be perhaps better translated and interpreted. You are believing in God right now. On that very basis, you can, must believe in me. When you think about it, the word believe, it is referring to a present and abiding reality, a trust in the Father, the one who is in total control of all events, the one who is sovereign over everything, the one who nothing takes him by surprise. Joe's passing away was not any surprise to Almighty God. Matter of fact, Joe's whole life and all that he lived and all the blessings he was able to be to people and all the memories that are built as a result of his life, God knew. And we relish in all those joys and all those blessings because even though Joe is gone, our Father is trustworthy. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't cause things for our anxiety. As a matter of fact, God allows certain things to happen to build us in the faith, to build us up. Jesus says, and you got to think of this, this is the night before his crucifixion. This is as he's told them, I am going to die. He says, you believe in God, believe equally and also in me. What a joyous thought. Again, the word believe calls for that same trust, that same confidence that has been placed in the Father for his absolute control and for your peace in all circumstances. You can let Jesus Christ also provide that. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he comes back after the resurrection in that 40-day ministry in John chapter 20, later on in this whole gospel record, Jesus comes back and he says, peace I leave with you. Peace. And then he's going to go again. Peace. They watch him ascend into heaven and they have to remember, he said, peace. That tranquility of the soul, that understanding that, it's okay. All things are well. Jesus says, you can believe in me. Yeah, I like that thought. He doesn't say believe around me. He doesn't say believe above me, believe below me, believe. He says believe in me. That little preposition in carries with it the idea of a location. Your faith, listen, your faith, your trust, your confidence, your hope is put in a person. The person of Jesus Christ. He didn't say, believe in my program. He didn't say, believe in my, he said, believe in me. Believe absolutely confidently in the very person that I am. It's interesting, down further, Jesus is going to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All that Jesus is provides us a great confidence. This calls for the people, the disciples, and you and me to be completely persuaded by the one whom they have trusted these last 3.5 years. You trusted for the miracles. You trusted in the teachings. You can trust me now in one of the more difficult things, my departure. Your trust doesn't change because the Savior doesn't change. Circumstances may change. But I thank God, Jesus himself said in the book of Hebrews, yesterday, today, and forever, he remains the same. You can trust him. Boy, aren't you glad you can trust in a personal Savior? He doesn't say trust in a man because men can let you down. Men can forget things. People can say things that are quite not always trustworthy. But your Savior you can trust. I am thankful that he brings comfort to a grieving heart. Are you finding that same comfort? Are you finding that same peace in the person of Jesus Christ? I know, having talked to Terry in the midst of Joe's passing, there was a peace that she had. There was a comfort that she found. I mentioned to her last night, I trust you get a good night of sleep as best as you can under the circumstances. Pastor, I did, until X amount of time. And then we pray that that peace remains, that comfort abides. If you can pray for Terry and the family, that's one thing you can do. Because there are going to be moments. There are going to be times when something is going to trigger a wonderful memory of Joe, and then all of a sudden the tears are going to flood. There are going to be times when something is said or there's an earthquake. You know, I'm going to do this. Every time I hear of an earthquake, I'm going to pray for Terry. Because Joe was our resident seismologist. He was a deacon of earthquakes, current events. But I know that's one of those comical things, but you know, those wonderful associations can be useful. So know, Terry, when there's an earthquake, you're being prayed for, at least by one of them. Maybe you also will take that upon yourselves. Second of all, notice something else. Jesus Christ not only gives comfort to a grieving heart, but Jesus prepares a permanent home. Verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. Now you got to capture this thought. Why would Jesus say this? He's saying, I'm leaving. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be resurrecting. I'm going. And earlier they did it. Where are you going? Later on, Tom, Lord, you're going the way. We don't know the way. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I told you. And I'm preparing a place for you. Number one, he provides details about this heavenly dwelling. You see where it says Father's house? It refers to God's habitation or dwelling. That is what we know as heaven. Where is God as far as a residing place? Heaven. Where is heaven? I don't exactly know. It's a place that is free from sin and all its effects. And right now, Joe is there. Because the Bible says absent from the body means present with the Lord. It's interesting where all the effects of sin, there's no lying up there. There's no earthquakes. There's no stealing. There's no complaining. There's no suffering. There's no disease. The asbestosis, pneumonia that Joe was fighting and then that fungal condition, none of that. None of it. He is alive now more than he ever has been. He is in a place of joy like there has never been. And in all honesty, I'm jealous. But I know this. Look what Jesus says. I go and prepare a place for you. Interesting about that word, you. That's plural. Heaven is a place that is fully being prepared. And it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know what we think of with the word mansions? We think of palatial estates. Somebody said, boy, I can't wait to get up to my mansion. I hope mine has got 40 rooms, 20 bathrooms, and 16 kitchens. Because I'm gonna have a lot of fun. We Baptists like to eat, and we Baptists like to get together with people. Well, just remember something. In heaven, there's no sleep. No bedrooms then. In heaven, we don't need to eat. I know that's a disappointment, but no kitchen. In heaven, you don't need a bathroom. Well, my mansion is going to be one big empty. Well, the word mansion is not so much giving you the idea of a physical structure like this. But the word mansion carries with it the idea of a lodging place, a room, an abode, some place where you are dwelling. It's the same word that we find down in verse number 23, where Jesus says, if any man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's the same word, the same idea, that dwelling place. The significance is, listen, the key is not so much the dimensions of the mansion or the actual location of the mansion. It is the presence of God who is in heaven where you will be. That's really what the idea behind all this is. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's a present reality. That is right now. Jesus is saying that is the present situation now. There's plenty of space for all. There's no risk of it being overcrowded. There are no code inspections up there. We were joking yesterday at the men's breakfast. Joe's probably looking, where's the code official? There aren't any. Hallelujah! He's in his delight knowing that there's no codes and all kind of permits and those things. It is not like Bethlehem when Jesus came into the world where there was no room for Jesus. By the way, heaven is so big, it's got place for you if you're here today. And you have no confident assurance this is where you're going. There's room for you. Jesus said later on, verse 6, look down there, please. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father. Unto the Father? Well, what did Jesus just say here in verse number 2? In my Father's house. You want to come to the Father's house, you come the Father's way. And that is through Jesus Christ. You want to see Joe again? You will if you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The baptismal waters of this big baptismal tank in the back, that will never get you to heaven. All the good deeds that you ever do, they will never outweigh all your bad deeds to get you in heaven, because guess what? You still have all these good and you still have the bad. Something's got to get done with the bad. You join this church, that's no guarantee you're going to go to heaven. The only guarantee you have of going to heaven is accepting what God says in His Word. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you knew Joe, as Pastor Jay said, when he sang the song Amazing Grace, he related to the reality of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Joe would testify of the point in time where he knew he did not need a religion. He did not need a program. He needed a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And he came to that place in his life where he got saved. He became born again. And his life was a testament to that. Around this time last year, Joe was having very serious heart conditions to the point that he was actually revived and brought back. And he wrote a tract. He wrote a description of his heart experiences to hand out to individuals to help them to have the same salvation in Jesus Christ that he had. Because his heart, physical organ, could be repaired, but the heart, which was tainted with sin, had been cleansed through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what others needed to hear. He shared that. It's a heavenly dwelling that's being prepared for us. Second of all, notice something as we continue. Number 2, He perfectly arranges your everlasting residence. Look at what it says. I go to prepare a place for you. This provides them with comfort. He is going, but he's going with a purpose. He's going with a reason. Listen, he is going with them in mind. He is not, listen. Jesus is not leaving with any selfish ambitions. Jesus Christ is not leaving with any empty expectations. Jesus is leaving for the benefit and for the sake of the ones who remain. I go and prepare a place for you. The word go is not your usual typical word. It has the meaning of going on a journey. The figurative mention of it relates to one who is on a journey going before his companions to provide and to seek out a place to lodge in. It's kind of like one who is a scout. Hey, let me go on ahead. Let me just look and survey the area. Let me go ahead and make sure everything's ready for when you come. That's the terminology that is used there. And he does that to help the disciples to recognize that as Jesus leaves, it is not something that is a negative thing. It is a highly positive thing. It is a wonderful thing. I'm going to prepare. The word prepare is to make ready, to make all the necessary preparations for their stay, including the overseeing of all the events and activities along the way. There are preparations that are made. If we are having a church service, we make preparations. If you're having company and visitors to your place, you make preparations. If you're having overnight guests, you make preparations. Jesus is preparing this place. By the way, the word place means that where you can settle or dwell or reside or live. The description of heaven is beyond words. Inexpressible in our own human terminology. When you look at Revelation 21 and 22, we're studying that in our evening services, and the description of heaven in chapter 22 is filled with like and as and metaphors and similes and such. But it does describe a heavenly city, a heavenly place. And this is an artist's rendition of it, and I know it doesn't do justice to the actuality of what heaven must be like, where Joe is now. The Bible describes this place, this huge celestial city, being 1,380 miles wide, 1,380 miles deep, and 1,380 miles tall, like a big cube. And I mentioned in our service on Sunday night, that would be if you're going to travel from San Francisco to Wichita, Kansas. That's the breadth of the city. And if you would travel from the northernmost point of Montana to the southernmost part of New Mexico, that's how wide it would be. And then that much taller. How many people can you fit in such a place? You can fit a lot of people. That's the idea where the mansions are. That's where the dwellings are. Surrounded by a wall 216 feet thick, made of precious jewels with radiating brilliance, and having gates made of pearl. By the way, folks, are you rejoicing? Do you have peace about this everlasting home in heaven that's awaiting you if you've been saved? Are your sights set upon this? It's interesting, I quoted to Joe, I think it was Thursday in the hospital before he passed, or Wednesday. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Let me ask you to take your Bibles back there. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul writing, and he's writing in the very midst and towards that end of the doctrinal section on salvation. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says something I believe is quite encouraging, comforting for all of us here. He says, Romans 8, 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glories that shall be revealed in us." Joe's experiencing that right now. Folks, are you looking forward to that? You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm not going to die today." No, no, no. You don't want to. Nobody knows. All I know is this. I don't live for the things of this world. Bible says, "It's certain you brought nothing into this world, you're not taking anything out." I've never performed a funeral service with a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. Never. You don't take it with you. You leave it all behind. Because, listen, the things that value, the things of worth, are not bought with dollars and cents. are paid for and are valued by heavenly standards. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, we're told, the Lord Jesus Christ says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The treasures that you have on this earth are tools that God gives you to use. You're a manager. You're a steward of those. Laying up treasures in heaven. I pray that's what we're waiting for and looking for. Third of all, Jesus Christ assures a future reunion. Verse number 3, he reiterates what he had just said. But he presents it more in a conditional clause. A condition is placed. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. There's the confident expectation he gives to the believers. You see, he gives certainty to his personal return. If I go, it draws attention to the conclusion of what he's about to say. Where were their thoughts? All their thoughts are, I'm going away. That's where they were thinking. He wants them to be thinking on this, I am coming again. I don't leave you hopeless. I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm not leaving you, but only temporarily, because I will come again. It's interesting the phraseology that he uses here. I will, it's an act so certain to has already begun. It is that which is viewed as a reality already being fulfilled. He says, I will come again. Boy, I love it. He's not sending a proxy. He's not sending a substitute. He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send a prophet. He's coming himself. And this is a guarantee. This is certain to happen. I will come again. It is going to be a gloriously announced, instantaneous event. Again, I referred to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When you look down in verse number 16, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Wonder what that shout would be. With the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means if this event happens right today, and it can, by the way, folks, there is nothing left on the prophetic timetable of Almighty God for this event to happen. Nothing left to be fulfilled. This event is known as the rapture. This event is known as the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it could happen today. And it's going to happen faster than I've clicked my fingers. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the word moment in the Greek language is atom. It's the word which we get the smallest molecular study of particles that is known in matter. And in a moment of time is referring to the time it takes the reflection of light off of the eyeball. I know what some of you think in the twinkling of an eye. I've seen you go, as fast as I can blink, that's too slow. As quick as the light shines off of the eye, the mucous membrane about the eye, that's as quick as Jesus is coming. It's going to be accompanied by a shout. Somebody once said that the words that Jesus may say with a shout is, enough! I don't know. A loud, authoritative cry, often uttered in a thick of great excitement. The voice of the archangel that may be Michael himself, we don't know. The trump of God, interesting, the trump is not a brass instrument that is, you know, that kind of a thing. It's the shofar. The shofar was the Hebrew or the Jewish horn that was used to, when they blew it, it called for the assembling of the people together either for war, the soldiers for war, or back in the days of the traveling of the Israelites from Egypt into the Promised Land to gather together to move off to their next destination. To gather together. That's what he's talking about. This is what he promises will happen. It is guaranteed. And then he says, I will receive you unto myself. You talk about a reunion. Let me just pause and say this. There is a descent. There's an order of ascent. The dead in Christ shall rise first. If the rapture happens today, Joe, along with all the other saints who have died from now in the past, they go first. How long is that going to take? Faster than that. Our God, by the way, our God who formed man's physical body out of dust on that sixth day of creation is so powerful. He can take a decomposed, he can take a body that's been in the grave, he can take the dust and the ashes of any human body that's been in the grave for so long, and he can bring it right back to a resurrected state in so fast a way. It is phenomenal. That's my God. And then we who are alive will be caught up together in the clouds. I'm looking forward to that. And since it is going to be any day, we should look forward every day to it happening. I will say this. You look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will change your priorities, decision making, activities, all kind of other things. Because when he comes, we do not want to, as it says, to be ashamed. But the Bible says too in 1 John chapter 3, we who have this hope in us are purifying ourselves even as he is pure. Lastly, he's not only giving a certainty to his personal return, but he guarantees security for his lasting presence. That where I am, there you may be also. You see where it says, there I am? This is a very emphatic. It is I am. And so for the disciples, they're thinking about this preparing of a place. And sometimes we may get caught up in the celestial city and all the description of the pearly gates and the gems and all those things and just the beauty of the transparent golden streets. He says that where I am. You see, that's the emphasis of heaven. You see, that's the focus of heaven. That's the person of heaven. That's the attention that we give. Where I am, there you will be also. Where he abides, where he remains, is where believers will also be. Inseparable forever and ever and ever. Verse number 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4, you'll see it again. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Believers, rest in the promise that we will be with our Savior forever. Joe's there. I don't imagine, all right, I wonder what the conversation must be like. I can imagine some of the things Joe might be asking. But I also know, if I know Joe, he's just enamored with being with his Savior. It'll be a wonderful reunion one day. Our Savior's coming. And every person who knows Jesus Christ will be together forever and ever and ever in the eternities of heaven. There'll be no such thing as time. There'll be no such thing as sin. No sorrows. One of the things I remember when Joe was talking about certain things and things he didn't remember last year during the time of the heart issue, we tried to tell him certain things, and he replied, "Get out of here." Imagine Peter telling Joe up there, "These are pearly gates. Get out of here." We'll see him again. Will you see him again? That's your choice. God doesn't drag people into heaven kicking and screaming. On the same token, God never sends anybody to hell. He presents you with a very personal choice. At the graveside of Lazarus, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Do you believe this? Have you personalized it? Have you trusted Jesus? Ron opened the service in prayer as I had prayed. And I believe if Joe could be praying in heaven and right now, he'd be praying for you if you're not saved. A free gift is available. If you have not become born again, you will never see Joe ever again. And that is a factual reality based on the truth of the Word of God. Your home won't be heaven, but you will have a home. It's called hell. Place you don't wish your very worst enemy. In closing, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who created the entire universe in 6 days, is getting ready a place for all of us to live with Him forever. For our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who have passed away, they've already arrived. They know real peace in this eternal home. You can know it too. Joe, we love you. We're praying that we'll get there soon. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you that it is well with our souls because of Jesus Christ. We thank you that Terry and the family, knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, can sing and say, it's well with their souls. And they'll see Joe again. Father, grant us comfort as we wait for that grand reunion in heaven. Help us to be witnesses and tell others, and to bring others into heaven with us. Help us to be faithful until you come again. Help us to be a blessing and a help to Terry and the family. Bless this dear church, Lord. Let us keep moving forward. Let us keep serving you with joy. Let us keep rejoicing in your blessings. And yea, Lord, for opportunities to grow, occasions to draw us closer together, may that be reality and be a blessing. We commit it to you and praise it all. Praise you for it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.